5. My name is Kelly Olson, and I'm interviewing Louise McLeod. Born in Pinedale, Wyoming. Okay. Now, where were you born?
Cheyenne, Wyoming, Memorial Hospital.
And your mother's and father's name was?
Florence Albert Cathcart. Marguerite Louise Steiger Cathcart.
Okay, and her nickname?
Mickey.
Okay. And what were your first recollections of Wyoming?
Going on hunting trips.
And how old were you then?
2, 3 years old.
And why were these so memorable?
Because I always got to go with my dad and ride on his shoulder.
Did you walk when you were hunting for long distances?
Oh, until I got tired, and then Daddy would always
carry me. And he always walked also, though. You didn't hunt with a vehicle most of the time?
No, always.
Okay. When did you first participate in the hunt?
When I was about 5.
And what did you shoot then?
I shot a rabbit with a .22.
Okay. And what did you use for transportation?
We had a Hudson car.
Okay. Was Cheyenne a big town then, or what do you remember about Cheyenne?
As a child?
Uh-huh.
I remember the Wooers store, which was probably about the biggest store downtown, at least as far as I thought. At that time, all the stores were in downtown Cheyenne. There wasn't such a thing as malls.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun place to go was the Union Pacific Depot.
Why was that so fun?
Because you could make little discs on a machine, put your names on them, and they had games that you could play. And you could watch the trains come in and go out. It was a fun place to go.
Did you have indoor plumbing at that time?
At that time, yes. Ask me that later.
And so you also had the water supply was in your house then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what part of town did you live in?
We lived in East Cheyenne.
Was that considered a in-town or out-of-town district?
It was right on the edge of town when we lived there. We lived right across the street from a dairy farm.
So what was your neighborhood like?
It was a new housing project, so it was all houses that were basically looked the same, except they were different colors.
How long did you live in this neighborhood for?
Oh, from the first grade through the 7th.
So you lived there
quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Where did you shop for your groceries and your supplies?
My father worked at, he was a meat cutter, and he worked at Safeway, so all our groceries were bought at Safeway.
Do you remember any of the bars in Cheyenne?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what they were like?
Mm-hmm. I remember the old Pioneer Bar that was across the street from the Safeway store. And I remember it because my grandfather used to come up and visit us. And he was a German man. He didn't have any teeth in his mouth. And he was in his 80s, and he was afraid of modern plumbing. And every time he came up, he would go spend the day at the bar while Daddy worked. But when he had to go to the bathroom, he went out and went to the bathroom at the curb, and he always got arrested. That's true.
Were there any brothels?
Probably. I don't remember. There was a slum area, and the Safeway store sat right on the edge of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the beginning of it. And I know that there was one bar called, I can't remember what it was called. I know the people who owned its name was Coyle, and it was considered one of the roughest bars in town.
Was there a lot of violence in Cheyenne at that time? Was it a rough town?
Only during frontier days.
And then?
Then the town was wide open.
What do you mean by wide open?
The bars stayed open all night, and people drank in the streets, and there was a lot of fighting and carrying on going on.
Do you remember ever seeing any of the fights?
No, because I remember I always wanted to attend everything, and I always had to be home by 9 o'clock because that's when things started getting rough. But I remember hearing my folks talk about it, reading in the paper.
Now, on the other side, were there any churches in town?
Yes.
About how many? And then do you remember what denominations they were?
I remember the beautiful Catholic Cathedral in Cheyenne, which was beautiful. The Methodist Church, which was a big church. And that was the one that we attended. I know there were other ones, but I don't know what their names were.
Have they changed much since when you went back?
Now the Catholic Cathedral is still there, and I don't believe the Methodist Church is. I think it was torn down a few years ago.
Now, during this time of your life in Cheyenne, were there any floods or natural disasters?
No.
While you were there?
No.
And were there any epidemics that hit town?
No.
What kind of medical help did you have available?
There was the Memorial Hospital and several doctors and dentists in town.
So you had quite a bit of the medical services available. Did you have any union halls or cooperative stores?
No, there were no co-ops. I imagine there was union halls. I know my dad belonged to a union. I don't remember him going to a union hall, but I remember him going to union meetings.
Mm-hmm. What were the holidays like? Did the whole town participate in Christmas and Thanksgiving?
Holidays were big then. The only time you got to eat turkey was on holidays. There would be nothing open. You know, like now, you always have stores that stay open. Everything closed for the holidays.
Did you have the big community gatherings? And did you have any sing-alongs?
Always at Christmas, there was the caroling. And if you were a person that stayed home, the carolers came. And you always invited them in for hot chocolate. And they'd stand in your living room and sing. Mm.
Do you ever remember any funerals from that time of your life?
No. I remember my grandmother's death, but I wasn't allowed to go to her funeral, so.
Was there a reason for that, or just your age?
I think it was, part of it was my age. I was in second grade, and she died of cancer, and she was on her deathbed for a year. And I think my parents felt that was bad enough to witness. Going to the funeral.
Was she buried in Cheyenne?
And I remember it very vividly because nobody was sad. I was.
Was there a reason, do you think, that nobody was?
I think it's because she suffered so bad. It was such a relief to have her finally at peace. But I just wanted my grandma.
Yeah. Were there any Orientals or Blacks that lived in the town at the time?
A large population of Blacks.
Did they mix with the
town? No, very segregated, very much so.
Did it provide, were there fights? And
no, there was no, and the schools were integrated, but Blacks lived in one section of town. Mexican people lived in one section of town, and whites got all the rest of it.
Did they have any unusual customs that you can remember?
No, I can remember, you ask about churches. In the Black section of town, there was a little Baptist church, little white Baptist church. And I can remember sometimes we would go down on Sunday afternoon and just park and listen to them sing. Because their music was so pretty.
Did they celebrate all the same holidays, or did they have any holidays that they celebrated?
I don't know.
Didn't really notice. Were they welcomed by the other residents, by the white residents, or was it more?
No, it was very, I remember in my first grade, my very best friend in the whole world was named Mary Lou. And she was my very best friend for months at school. And I loved her, and I had many black eyes over her. And one day my mother came to pick me up at school, and I introduced her to Mary Lou. And I was never allowed to play with Mary Lou after that, and that's because she was black.
Mm-hmm. No. What kind of jobs did they perform?
A lot of them worked at the Union Pacific Depot. That's the only place I can ever remember seeing them work.
Were there many Indians around Cheyenne then?
No, very few.
Okay. What kind of games can you remember playing as a child?
At what age are you talking about?
During this time while you were in Cheyenne.
Okay. Dodgeball.
Can you kind of describe that?
Oh, dodgeball.
Do that again, okay?
Yeah, I got an extension cord. Did that help? Dodgeball was when you drew a great big circle and one person got in and everybody tried to hit you with a ball. They tossed the ball back and forth and you had to jump it or dodge it. Jump rope, hopscotch, flying kites was a big sport. Making your own kites was the big sport. A lot of pretend games. We pretended everything. Probably I see more fantasy there than I do now in young people.
Did you like Cowboys and Indians? Was that the...
Oh, Cowboys and Indians and Tarzan and Jane and Bambi and his mother and just all sorts of things. Whatever the movie was on Saturday, that's what you fantasize for the whole next week. Roy Rogers, Gene Autry.
Okay. You said you had your best friend was a black girl. The other kids, did they mix with the other races and religions even?
No.
Okay.
No. Would have if the grown-ups had left us alone. We had no problems until mothers started interfering. And when mothers started interfering, it was a really sad thing because she was all alone. And none of us were allowed to play with her.
Mommy.
Were there ever any mixed marriages?
Not that I remember. I don't think at that time that if there was, they would have been kept very quiet.
Where did you go to school at for grade school?
Okay. Kindergarten, I went to a little school called Park on the west side of Cheyenne. And in the first grade, I went to a school called Alta Vista. And then they built a new school closer to our house called Fincher, and I finished my grade school up at Fincher School.
What were the schools like?
Much stricter than they are now. Children were to be seen and not heard. There weren't open discussions on subjects. You were told what you were to believe. And there was no nonsense was broached. You weren't to have an opinion of your own in any way, shape, or form.
What would happen to you if you did have an opinion of your own?
You would stay after school, be locked in a closet. Any numerous punishments, and of course the very worst punishment, was a spanking by the principal. But it was something you just didn't do.
My bird, Mommy.
You just didn't argue. If you had opinions, you kept them to yourself. It was like you didn't argue with your parents. If they said something, then whether you agreed or disagreed, you agreed.
Did you ever argue with them?
No. It just wasn't done by anybody. You could have your opinions, but you kept them to yourself. Until you were of age, you weren't allowed to express your opinions.
Did they have sex education classes then?
Absolutely not.
Was it even talked about?
Later on in my school years it was. In the eighth grade I finally had a sex class, and the teacher was fired because he introduced it.
How many grades did you have in one classroom? Was there one to a class or?
Yeah, one to a class.
Were they very big schools?
Yeah, pretty, probably 24, 25 students in a classroom. While I was in Cheyenne.
Uh-huh. Okay. Were the boys and girls expected to act different?
Yes, girls were required to wear dresses. They were not allowed to wear pants. Even on the coldest days, you wore dresses. At recess, the playgrounds were divided up. There was a boys' side and a girls' side. So you weren't allowed to play with the boys. Mm-hmm. The only intermingling, as far as playing went, was under direct supervision. If we went out and played a game, and we had teachers there.
Did the boys play different than the girls did, or was it just that they didn't want the sexes to mingle?
I don't know what their reasoning was. It was terrible for me because I lived in a neighborhood of boys. And my best friends were boys, and I played boy games. And yet at school I wasn't allowed to cross the line and play with my friends. I had to play with the girls.
Hmm. What kind of chores were you expected to do around the house during this age?
Absolutely nothing.
You didn't have to clean house or?
No, my mother was a compulsive cleaner, and nobody ever did anything good enough for her. My mother was the type of person that when the Easter Bunny came to visit our house, he left eggs on little pieces of wax paper. I can remember raking the yard and some things like that, but never in the house was I allowed to do anything.
What did your house look like?
It had, on the main floor, it had a living room and a guest bedroom and a bathroom and a kitchen. And then in the basement was two bedrooms and a laundry room and a storage room. And then it had a single car garage. And even God, if he came to my house, would have taken his shoes off before he came in.
Were you ever sick as a child?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of diseases or
illnesses? The normal ones, chicken pox, measles, my tonsils out when I was in the third grade. Not because they needed to come out, but because everybody got their tonsils out when they were in the third grade. And so my tonsils were removed too. It was a very traumatic thing. You had to eat Jell-O for a month before you went in to have the surgery, and it was during the war, and that was rationed, and so you had to have special permission to buy Jell-O, and you ate some sort of great big pills. I don't know what they were. You had to take those three times a day, too. And then you went to a doctor's office, and they put you to sleep, took your tonsils out, and sent you home that night. But, you know, the day I had mine out, four other people in the neighborhood had theirs that same day. So it was just something you did. And then a very serious illness in the seventh grade. And that was old-fashioned scarlet fever.
And what was that like?
It was terrible. I was very, very sick. I spent 6 weeks flat on my back in bed and under quarantine. I was the only person in the state of Wyoming or Colorado that had scarlet fever.
How were the children disciplined?
My birth.
Well, my disciplines were being grounded to the house, which living in a clean house like I did was terrible, because you weren't allowed to play with things because you got them out of place. I got grounded a lot. The worst punishment was getting threatened that my dad would spank me. He never did, but the fear of that was terrible. It was traumatic.
Did your mother ever spank you?
No, my mother slapped. Not even really slapped, she backhanded. And it was always over some little thing. It was never over the big things. When I look back on it, I think it was always the straw that broke the camel's back, because you would say one word out of order and she'd turn around and knock you down, backhand you. And maybe the day before you had argued with her or sassed and she hadn't paid any attention to it. It was just, but she was very good at that.
Did they have a curfew or anything like that that the whole town stuck to?
No.
You were just left up to the parents to mm-hmm. decide when to bring you in? How were your holidays celebrated, like Christmas? What kind of things did you do to make it Christmas?
Oh, lots of baking and cooking and large family gatherings. There would be 20, 30 people for the dinner, and they'd be there all day, and that was for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and Easter were the big holidays.
And those were the days you got to have your turkeys.
Yes. And it just depended on, I imagine they took turns, because it was usually at somebody else's house. And sometimes it was at ours, and sometimes it was someplace else. But everybody cooked and brought food.
Okay. When did you leave Cheyenne?
I left Cheyenne at the end of my 7th grade. My mother and father divorced earlier in that beginning of my 7th grade. No, that's wrong. They divorced when I was in the 6th grade. And Mom had a store. It was a combination restaurant, little grocery store. And we stayed there until she remarried, and then we left at the end of my 7th grade and moved to Briggsdale, Colorado.
What was that like, having your parents divorce?
Terrible.
Was it common?
Or? No, it wasn't that common. The war was going on. Daddy was in the Army. But before he'd gone into the Army, he had met this woman. And I think the most traumatic thing to me was that she was only 5 years older than I was. And she was expecting a baby. And I remember at that time when this sort of thing happened, the man was forced to marry the woman. And Mom divorced him, and the Army brought him back in handcuffs. And I remember Mom taking me to the train depot to see him, and he was in chains, and he was crying.
And that was just because he'd gotten another woman pregnant that they brought him back in handcuffs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is so in Colorado. What was it like? Was life much different for you, or?
Entirely different. My mother married a man who had 2 children.
And what were their names?
Marvin and Dale. Marvin was 2 years older than I was, and Dale was the same age as I was. And then they had a baby, a little girl. And we lived on, when we first went down, Dad ran a garage in Briggsdale. And we lived there for about 6 months. And then they bought a ranch. We moved out on the ranch. And we became very poor, with number one. Number two, the school was very small. School was run all together as far as junior high and high school. You had different classes, but in that class you might have seniors and freshmen, whatever. But there was a closeness in the school. Everybody got along. You did a lot of things together. There was a lot of good, fun things. There was hay rides and ice skating parties, and picnics and baseball games and things that kids could really do and really have fun doing. And there was always a dance on Saturday nights that was well chaperoned, but was fun.
During the dances, were there the 12-inch ruler to keep apart, or?
Well, it depended. Adults were allowed to come to the dances, too, and as the dances began, the chaperones were very strict, but the more trips they made out to the car, the more lenient they got.
When were you allowed to start dating?
I started dating when I was 14.
And what was it like to date?
Well, at first it was just I got to go places. The only reason I was allowed to date that young was because my brother dated, and there was no way for me to go to anything unless he took me, and he wouldn't take me unless I had a date because I was too much trouble. So I got to start dating when I was 14. But at that point, dating just meant a way to go someplace and have fun.
Did the boys have to come in and meet the parents?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did your dad ever put them in through any strict questions or
Oh,
warnings?
My stepfather was terrible. My stepfather was drinking real heavy during that period. But he would bring those poor boys in and ask them what their intentions were. And it was terribly embarrassing for most of the boys. However, not as embarrassing as my older brother was, my stepbrother, who really took care of me. And although I was very popular during this time and had lots of dates, I seldom had anybody that dated me more than 5 or 6 times because they didn't behave like my brother thought they should.
What happened if you ever went out with a boy who your brother didn't think you should be out with?
Then he would come and get me, and he would beat up the boy and take me home.
Okay. What sort of activities did you have in high school?
Yeah, I was real active in sports, track, basketball, softball. I was a cheerleader. Was on the honor roll.
Were girls allowed to wear pants?
Yes, because it was a farming community. And most of us, when we got off school, went right to work as soon as we got home.
What were the sports like then?
Very competitive. You competed with all the neighboring small towns, and of course the winner out of all of that got to go to the state playoffs. So they were very competitive, not only for the kids but for the parents.
Were there fights between the teams?
Oh yeah, a lot of times. And you were always lectured before you went somewhere about sportsmanship, and but the games, almost because parents were involved, became too important to the point where you were really pressured to win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What types of activities did you do after school for entertainment?
Worked.
What was the work like?
Typical ranch work. You got up at 4 in the morning. There were cows to milk and chickens to feed, and you had to run milk through a separator and take care of the livestock, and then you would come in and eat breakfast, and then there was dishes to be done after breakfast, and then to school, and then when you come home you had to do all the same chores all over again.
Was this a big switch for you from not having to do any chores in Cheyenne to all of a sudden
terrible switch
having to do work?
I was required to work very hard. And for a while felt very put upon. But it had its good points. So it was fun.
Did you have your neighbors close by? Or?
Our closest neighbor was 8 miles.
And were there many girls in the neighborhood then, or were you still in?
No, I was still mainly in an all-male society.
So you sort of had to adjust to playing with the boys and play their
playing and working with the boys. Again, mother was still her very clean person. I was allowed to do dishes just simply because there was too much work for her to do. most of my work was outside work.
Did you have indoor plumbing on the ranch?
No, outdoor plumbing.
What did you use for your toilet paper?
When we could afford it, toilet paper. When we couldn't, magazines, anything that was available.
And where did you get your other water supply from?
From a well.
Was it dug near your house, or did you have to carry it?
Right next to the house.
And where did you shop for groceries?
There was a small town, Briggsdale was 14 miles from us, and we did some shopping there, but usually you went into Greeley, Colorado, or Cheyenne. Either one was about 60, 65 miles away. And you made a trip like that about every 3 months and bought staples.
So if you ran out of something, you would just sort of forced to make do without it. Did your town have any bars in it?
Yes.
Were they?
Had one.
Was it a rowdy place to go? Or?
No, it was kind of a neighborhood. It was kind of a type of place that you went to the bar, your family went with you. If you went to the dances on Saturday night, everybody brought their kids. And up on the stage, they would have bales of hay, and the kids would be put to bed up on the stage. So Mom and Dad could dance and party. Yeah,
kind of, you didn't have to have babysitters then.
No, huh?
Was there any violence in the town?
Occasionally somebody has too much to drink, and there would be a fight, but not a whole lot.
Were there a lot of churches?
There were two churches. There was a Catholic church and a Baptist church.
Do you remember anything special about them?
No, I remember, you know, you went to church, not so much because it was church as that it was something social to do. And they only had Catholic services once a month. That's the only time a priest could get there. So you went to the Baptist church the other times, and then you went when the Catholic church was open, you went there. And they had a lot of socials, box suppers, and where you'd pack up a lunch and decorate a box, and then they'd auction it off, and the guy that bought it got to eat supper with you. And the churches did a lot of that. And so it was a very social thing.
Do you remember any floods or national, I guess not floods necessarily, but national disasters? Or
Blizzard of 49.
What was that like?
It was like the world ended. It started, by this time we had went bankrupt on the ranch, and my mom and dad were back in Cheyenne, and I was at the ranch with my grandmother, and a neighbor boy was down. And we were playing some sort of game. I don't even remember what sort of game it was, but it was a game. And about 10 o'clock, it got so quiet. And it was scary, because in the country, it never gets quiet, you know. And we woke my grandmother up, and we went outside, and she bundled us inside and built a big fire. But I remember going out, and you could see all the stars in the sky. It was a beautiful night. But there was no sounds at all, no insects, no birds, no nothing. And by the next morning, the wind was howling, and you couldn't see. There was so much snow blowing that you couldn't even put your hand up in front of your face and see. And we were very fortunate that my grandmother was with us, and she had lived through blizzards like that before. She would tie lariat ropes around our waist and send us out to try to save the stock. And you couldn't find anything. It was like it was a whole alien.
You've got another tie ropes around
you. And you couldn't find anything because the landscape would change, you know. But you'd go outside and your eyelids would freeze shut. And finally, the blizzard lasted 3 nights and 4 days. And by the end of the blizzard, we had a 4-room house, and there was only one room in the house that the ceiling didn't fall in on. And we had burned all the furniture in the house except for 2 chairs to stay warm. And we had been without food for 3 days because all of our food froze and my grandmother was afraid to use it. At the end of the blizzard, the first thing she had us do was go dig the chickens out. And they were covered by 7 feet of snow. And as soon as we got down to them, why then she killed 2 chickens and cooked us something to eat right away. We lost. The only thing we saved was 2 calves and 2 horses and our chickens. Everything else froze to death. And around our house was, oh, it looked like thousands of head of cattle. I'm sure there wasn't that many, probably 200, but it seemed like they were all over. They were all crying like they were in terrible pain. And they were all young Hereford heifers that had drifted down from the Hereford Ranch in Cheyenne. They had drifted down with the storm, and they had lost their calves during the storm, and the afterbirth, and sometimes the calf had froze as it was being expelled, and other cattle had walked on that, and these cattle were literally disboweled, and they were dying, and they were all around the house, and they were crying, and it was a horrible sound. And the second day, an army plane came out, and a small plane, and they landed, and they machine-gunned all these cattle. And then they asked us what we needed, and the next day they came out in a big plane and dropped us supplies, food supplies. And we were snowbound for about 8 weeks before they finally got into us. Many, many people lost their lives, and thousands, thousands of livestock died during it. It was a terrible storm.
Were there any epidemics then?
I remember during the blizzard of 49 of a boy who had acute appendicitis, and we were 60 miles from the closest doctor. That was the only thing.
Did he make it into the hospital?
No, he died. I guess they couldn't get him in.
So then that answers my next question on medical health. You were sick. Did you have any doctors that came through town periodically? Or
no, none at all.
You had to go?
You had to go. If you needed an ambulance, it came from 65 miles away to you and took you back. There was no way to get you there except by your own car. The light looks so awful, honey. Don't rub it, that just makes it
hurt. Did you have birth control? Was there birth control available there? Or had you heard about it?
I hadn't heard about it. About this time was when you got all of the lectures about how you got pregnant and why you shouldn't. nothing was ever said about ways to keep from getting pregnant.
Except just to stay away from the boys.
Right, abstain.
What did you guys do for entertainment as teenagers? Other than the dances, the community gatherings. Did you ever have times when just the kids got away?
The big thing was to have a date and go into Cheyenne or Greeley and go to a movie. That was the biggie. And of course, you know, nobody had much money, so you maybe got to do that 3 times a year, but that was really fun. And then the classes always made money during the year by, oh, they would sell refreshments at the dances and the games and stuff. And you saved all that money, and at the end of the year, you got to do a class trip. And one of the biggies was to go to Denver to one of the amusement parks and spend the day. Those kind of things. And you would plan for months for these. These were big things to do.
Did you drink as a teenager?
Not much. Not there. It was a very definitely a Baptist community. And there wasn't a whole lot of drinking. There were people like Dad who were alcoholics, but, you know, he wasn't a Baptist and he was just tolerated. But most of the kids didn't drink because they just had not been raised that way. And again, you were being raised at a time where there were things you just didn't do. I mean, you didn't know for sure what the consequences were, but you sure didn't want to find out either. They made them sound like they were really bad, so nobody wanted to find out.
Did you have your own vehicle when you were old enough to drive, or were you still left on foot?
No, when we moved to the ranch, we were 14 miles from town. And so to get to school, we had to have a vehicle. So we had an old Model A pickup that Dad had bought for us. And that's what we drove back and forth to school. But my brother always got to drive it. I didn't. But it was really good. It ran on anything. It would run on Dad's booze or mothballs or... And we were given a gallon of gas a week, and that was to take us to school and back all week. And if we wanted to go to the dance on Saturday night, we had to figure out how we were going to get there. So we tried everything, and it would run on just about anything.
When did you guys leave the ranch?
The end of my junior year in high school.
And where did you go?
Cheyenne.
Did your stepfather get a job there?
Yeah, he became a car salesman for Nash.
What was Nash?
It was a make a car back those times. It was a revolutionary car. The seats laid down and made a bed.
Was this the first car of that type?
Yeah, and he became a salesman. He's a very good salesman.
And was your mother still a housewife?
Mm-hmm. And she occasionally worked. She worked out at the Palomino nightclub sometimes. But it wasn't a steady thing.
Cheyenne changed much?
Not a whole lot at that point. It was about the same.
Did you live in a different neighborhood?
We lived all over. Dad moved every 2 months. Dad not only bought and sold cars, he bought and sold houses. So he would buy a house and we'd live in it a couple of months and he would trade it off for another house. And so we did a lot of moving, but always within Cheyenne.
Did you date much your senior year?
Yeah, quite a bit. But I also worked. And
what did you work as?
I worked at the train depot behind their convenience counter. I sold pop and sandwiches and jewelry and cigarettes and magazines and papers and things like that. So I would get out of school at 2 and work then from 2 to 10. So I fitted a little bit of dating in there.
What was the high school like?
It was big after being in this little country school. My senior class had 550 people in it. The graduating class that I would have graduated from in Colorado would have had 10. So it was different. It was a very difficult year for me because I had to make up a lot of classes in order to be able to graduate out of a Wyoming school. That their requirements were different than what Colorado's were. So like in my senior year, I took freshman history, freshman basic math. In fact, most of my senior year was taking freshman classes.
Would you say the schools were harder then in Wyoming over Colorado?
No, I don't think so. I just think they were different. They just had different requirements.
Mm-hmm. So. Did you belong to any clubs or organizations your senior year?
I didn't have time.
Did you work Monday through Friday? Or?
Yeah.
And on weekends also?
I worked 6 days a week, had Sundays off.
Was this just for your spending money? Or?
It was my total support, except for my living expenses. I was still living at home and eating at home, but I bought my own clothes and paid all of my school expenses.
And what was your salary then?
55 cents an hour.
Did that give you enough to live on?
Barely, barely.
What kind of recreational activities did you have your senior year?
When I did go out, I dated people who were out of school, and usually went to the state line, or to Rockport, or to Little Bear, and you danced and drank.
So that you did. You started drinking. You
mm-hmm, then? In my senior year.
Do you remember anything memorable about your senior year?
I was married in March of my senior year, and I graduated in June, 3 months pregnant.
What was your wedding like?
Well, we decided to get married at midnight one night. And we attempted to get married in Colorado and couldn't. They had a 3-day waiting period. And we drove to Raton, New Mexico, and we're married. We thought we had to have a ring. I was married with a 10-cent ring out of Woolworths. We had $22 when we left Cheyenne. And we got back to Denver with an empty gas tank and no money. And Bill's brother gave us enough money to get back home on. And we lived in a little one room up above what used to be the Cass's department store. Shared a bathroom with 6 other rooms. Was different.
Who did you marry?
I married Bill Ames, who my mother thought was the most terrible thing I ever did. He was very wild. He rode a motorcycle and did a lot of things that were wild and things that she didn't approve of.
Such as?
Oh, he drank a lot and he fought a lot, and probably the worst thing was that he raced motorcycles, and that was a terrible thing. I don't know why, but to my mother that was a terrible thing.
Okay. When was your first child born?
December 24th, 1951.
No. And her name was?
Edith Louise Ames.
And where was she born at?
In Cheyenne, at Memorial Hospital.
When you were married, were you advised on any type of family planning then, or?
My mother told me, when she knew I was going to go get married, that I didn't need to worry about it because since I was a virgin, I couldn't possibly get pregnant for the first 2 months. I was back, we were back from getting married about 3 weeks when she took me to the doctor and had him fit me with a diaphragm and explain it to me. Unfortunately, I was already pregnant. And 9 months later, I had a little girl.
Did this cause any speculation in your family as to if you were pregnant before or after the wedding ceremony?
My mother was positive, but that's why I had run off to get married, was because I was pregnant. I remember the first thing I said to her after the baby was born was 9 months, 3 hours, and 33 minutes.
How is the birth process different than it is today? What kind of things did you use for pain?
Okay, they gave nothing for pain. They would give a hypo if you really had a long labor and needed to rest, but they really didn't like to. And during the birth, you were always given ether. It was always gas that you were given. So you were never awake to see your baby born. And I don't see things a whole lot different now, except they do have things now that help more with the pain than then.
Mm-hmm. I don't want my panties on.
You don't want your panties on, though.
Once you were married, did you belong to any social groups? Or?
No. Very much family oriented after we were married. His family lived in town, and it was a large family. My family lived in town. Most of our social time was spent trying to appease both families, spending enough time with each family to make them not think we were slighting them.
Where did your husband work at?
He worked at Union Pacific in the baggage department for the first few years of our marriage, and then we had a mail contract, and we trucked the mail from the post offices to the trains and back and forth.
Did you have a job?
No.
Did you help out with the mail contract?
Yeah, some. But we had a growing family, and I stayed home mostly.
When was your second child born?
3 years after the first.
And it was a...
A boy.
What was his name?
His name was David William. And then our third child was born 3 years later. And his name was James Ames.
My baby.
Was there... All this time you were housewife and mother.
Mm-hmm.
Did women work then? Or did you just choose this to be a housewife?
Women worked, but not a lot. The old saying was very much in thing, you know. You married a woman and kept her barefoot or pregnant to keep her home. And that was, you were never to outdo the man in your life. You weren't to be smarter than he was, a better shot than he was, a better fisherman than he was, a better anything than he was. That wasn't allowed. So even if you were, you kept very quiet about it.
Did the women form little social groups or?
Some did. I never did. I had never been around women. I've been raised with boys, and I didn't relate well to women.
Mm-hmm. Did your husband belong to a union?
No.
And he was self-employed with the mail contract.
It yes. Wasn't,
he didn't work for anybody else. Okay. What was it like during World War II? And how old were you?
I was a teenager, 12, 13. It was fun at first. It was exciting. Everybody was going off to war. And everybody was in uniforms. And... everybody was very patriotic. Everybody collected paper and collected metal, and everybody donated to the war effort. You went without shoes, and you went without things that were rationed because we needed it to fight the war. It was like everybody all of a sudden came together, and everybody was standing for one ideal. The horrors of the war, I don't think, came home until after the end of the war with Europe. And probably was the most traumatic thing that ever happened to my life was to go to a movie theater one afternoon when I was 13 and to see the newsreel of the concentration camps in Germany. And they were horrible. And, you know, I remember people throwing up in the aisles and crying and sobbing. And I was too. And probably where I got my basic need to work with people, mm-hmm. to help people.
It was during that time?
During that time. I think that's where the seed was planted, where I had a need to do that.
Okay. Is that probably the biggest thing you remember about the war?
Biggest thing I remember the night my grandfather died, and I was in the third grade then. That was at the beginning of the war. And I remember them trying to get a hold of his youngest son, and he was on a battleship in the harbor at San Francisco. And they wouldn't even let us tell him that his father had died. And after the war, we found out that he was one of the first frogmen. And they were leaving on a secret mission. And once they were aboard, they weren't allowed to talk to anybody.
What is a frogman?
A frogman was underwater demolition. And, of course, the American people didn't even know there was such a thing until the end of the war. It was a very, very secret mission. And I think that's... And out of the war came a different America. People had fought and died in the war that were children. You no longer could tell a high school student that they didn't have a right to an opinion. Because we'd learned if we could fight and die for a country, we certainly had a right to an opinion at that age. And the pendulum began to swing the other way of where there was no parental control. Also, marriages dissolved very swiftly because a lot of marriages came about because somebody was going overseas and they weren't based on good sound reasons for getting married. And when the war was over, those marriages dissolved and there were a lot of children, a lot of single women. And for the first time in our history, women had held down jobs. Responsible jobs. They had been welders, they had been electricians, they had been plumbers. They had done all the jobs that men had always done. And when the men came back, women didn't want to give up that right. And it was the beginning of the female movement of I have rights too.
And what grade were you in during this time,
would you say? The end of the war in Europe, I was 13, almost 14.
So that would have been grade...
About seventh, getting ready to go into the eighth grade.
Okay. When did you leave Wyoming?
In 1960.
And where did you go?
We moved to Portland, Oregon. Where my husband went to work as a mechanic. We had two more children. We had a girl. And a boy.
Okay.
And my marriage was dissolved there. I was divorced. And I went to work as a secretary for about a year and a half. Then became very ill with infectious hepatitis. During that time, met a colored prostitute in the hospital. And out of that, landed a job on the police department in Portland. Went from the police working vice and undercover and on the street to working inside of a jail. Made very good money, which is what kept me in it. Career just advanced from there in corrections. Picked up a lot of college hours during that time, taught several college courses in law enforcement. Eventually was offered the job as deputy warden in Evanston, Wyoming, and moved back to Wyoming to accept that job.
And you've been in Wyoming since then?
Since then. Left that position in 1982 due to stress. Doctor's orders, and became a counselor in chemical abuse.
Ow!
And is that what finally led you up to Pinedale, Wyoming?
Yes.
Do you have any words that you would like to leave for your grandchildren or heirs?
Like what?
Like any impressions or values or...
Well, honey...
Anything you would like them to... Anything you'd like them to know?
Just that every person has to be their own person, whether they're a female or a male. And if you always live by what is right to you, you'll be all right. And that nobody can turn their back on God and survive.
And in your opinion, what does the future hold for our country? Do you think women will continue to make the move that they've made since you were divorced and
yeah, moved I mean, out. I think it will mellow out more. I think that there's a place for women. I think many women accomplish jobs that have been predominantly male as well as men do. I don't think that is the problem. I think the problem is there has to be a meeting of the minds that women are people too, and that men are people, and that when they join to have children, that should be a shared responsibility. I see what's happening now is mothers trying to run a career and a home too, and the children are the ones that are suffering. And I think the pendulum has to come back so there's structure to the family life. Children have to grow up knowing that they're wanted and that they're loved, and that there's right and wrong. And that's very difficult to do if there's no structure in the home.
Do you think that that means the housewife role? Or
no,
is it possible for them both?
I think there can be parents. I think it doesn't have to be mother that teaches those. I think it should be both. I think it's a shared responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the child is the one that profits from that, because I think certainly in my era, I'm sure that my father and my stepfather both had a lot to tell me and a lot that they could have shared with me if they had felt they could, but because I was a girl, they didn't. And I think that children should have the advantage of both parents. And by the same token, I think everything should be shared. Housework, fun, raising
mm-hmm.
children. I think it has to be a two-way street. It can no longer be a one-way street.
Looking back over your time in Wyoming, what has been your best memory that you can... Do you have a favorite memory?
Of being in Wyoming?
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to say my favorite memories of Wyoming, it would be any time that I've been in the mountains by a mountain lake. Those are all favorite memories.
Is that what holds you to Wyoming and drew you back after so many years in Oregon? Was
yeah, the beauty, the wide open spaces, being able to look at the sky and feel like you could reach up and pluck a star. All of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And Wyoming still has something that other states don't.